welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We're going to have a theater review from our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Now, Judy usually joins us on Thursday, but today we decided to do it this week on Friday. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, as always.
So we're going to talk about a show, A Cockpit in Court. It's called Disaster. That's what the staff usually calls anytime I sit down at this microphone. However, this is an actual Broadway musical. That seems like a very risky title for a Broadway musical.
Yes, yes. And in fact, it only lasted a few months on Broadway 3 years ago. But it did very well off Broadway, and it seems to be having a healthy afterlife at small theaters and in schools across the country. It's written by Seth Rudetsky and Jack Plotnick. You may know the name Seth Rudetsky. He's a radio host on Sirius XM's Broadway channel. He has quite a following. And he attended the performance that I went to, and he did a talk back afterwards. And he explained that about 20 years ago, he came up with the idea of having a musical comedy inspired by 1970s disaster movies. Movies like Jaws.
Of which there were many.
Oh, yeah. The Poseidon Adventure, The Towering Inferno. Those are just a couple of them. And he wanted to use actual 1970s pop songs. So what he ended up with is a show that spoofs both the 70s movies and the 70s music. It takes place at the grand opening of a floating casino moored at a New York City pier. In the course of one evening, there's an earthquake, a tidal wave, a fire, not to mention rats and sharks and piranhas. Cockpit in Court's production is far from a disaster. It's really top-notch. The show itself and the performances are very, very funny in this deliberately corny kind of way.
So do they recreate scenes from these disaster movies? Is there an entirely new plot? And by the way, how do they incorporate these famous songs?
There's
got to be a morning after.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Of course.
That's
got to
be
of
in
course.
There, right?
Yeah. There's an entirely new plot. It traps a group of mostly strangers in one dangerous situation after another, and then it shows how they, or at least most of them, manage to make it out alive. And some of the songs do seem like naturals, the one you're talking about, and then I Will Survive, for example. Part of the fun is that even the songs that seem like a logical fit are often used in really unlikely ways. I'm going to give you an example. Donna Summer's Hot Stuff, I'm sure you remember that one.
Yeah.
It's used in three different ways. First, a guy asks a friend how to attract girls. That's kind of a logical choice for that song. Second, a disaster expert warns of an impending earthquake. And third, the casino owner insists that his chef use the gas stove, even though the fire department has forbidden this. There's trouble afoot. I brought another example. This is a 1975 British pop song called Sky High. It originally was about a relationship that didn't work out. In Disaster, angry characters sing it at the casino owner after there's an explosion.
Ah, yes, the 70s. I actually don't recall much of about the 70s. That was the cast of Cockpit in Court's production of Disaster. So if I do remember a little bit about the 70s, these movies usually had these huge casts. Is that true in this show, too?
This isn't a huge cast, but it's a cast that plays a very wide range of character types. For example, there's a nun in at least one of maybe several of the airport disaster movies. And there's a nun here, a nun who happens to have a gambling addiction. There's the sleazy casino owner. There's the disaster expert who's a nerdy professor. There's a down-and-out disco diva. There's a nosy reporter. There's a casino singer, and she has young twins, a boy and a girl. And I want to start by talking about those twins because one talented 12-year-old actor, Liam Hamilton, plays both the boy and girl twin, often in the same scene. I'm not going to give away how this is done. But when the song When Will I Be Loved comes up, it's sung by a trio, the casino singer, Nancy Parrish Azendorf plays her, and her twin children. Liam sings in a higher register when he's playing the girl in the same song, lower register for the boy. Very funny. But there are lots of good performances. The show is directed and choreographed by Todd Perthry. I also want to single out Lisa Pastella, who plays the nun. She's this sweet-looking, bespectacled nun. She starts out trying to convince people not to gamble, not to go into the casino, but she can't convince herself. Then she sees a brand-new, state-of-the-art slot machine, and her resistance completely shatters, even though she fights against it. So let's listen to her love song to a slot machine.
That's Lisa Pastella in Disaster. You know, the slot machine as a religious experience. Is Airplane in there? There was a great nun in Airplane. Remember that movie?
Yes, of course.
That's good. You know, she was my favorite character in Airplane. So tell us about the design elements of this show. I wonder, we talked about the play that goes wrong at the Hippodrome a week or so ago. Stuff kept falling apart and all that kind of stuff. Is that the same thing that happens here?
Well, to a limited extent. Part of the comedy here is that the show is so low-tech. There's very little attempt at realism. The set's by Michael Rysinski, and it serves all kinds of purposes for locations and configurations, and it's intentionally hokey. And I have to give special praise to the props master, Shane Lowry, who's also in the cast. His rats alone are a joy. John Waters would love them. And there are lots of effects conveyed mostly by lighting and sound. So I praise especially the sound designer, Corey Sekulow. I should also say, let me give credit also to the band. They have a really strong 8-piece pit band. I don't want to...
Eight pieces.
Good for them. And very heavy in the brass, led by Michael DeVito, and they do a really good job accompanying.
An 8-piece band, a bunch of rats, and a nun.
What more do you need?
If that isn't the formula for a great Broadway show, I don't know. So you seem to have had a good time at Disaster. Do you have to be familiar with the 1970s? I mean, if you're 25 years old, are you going to have a good time at this show?
I think so. It helps to be familiar, but we had friends in the audience with teenage kids. I'd be surprised if they recognized all the song and movie references, but they seem to have a good time. This is a jukebox musical, but the way the songs are put into it is deliberately funny. And the cast at Cockpit gives it their all. The audience I saw it with responded in kind. This is excellent escapist summer entertainment. And by the way, Seth Rudetsky said it's possibly going to become a movie, so it will have gone full circle.
Yeah, sort of John Waters-ish, you know, about Hairspray and stuff. That's terrific. We got a minute left. Let's talk about Hamilton at the Hippodrome. Huge show, gigantic thing, sells out all over the place. I understand that they're going to make a lottery for Hamilton tickets, so if you still have a chance to get them.
That's right. The show arrives here next week, and this lottery is a $10 per ticket lottery. It's been done in a number of maybe all the cities it's played. 40 tickets for each performance are being sold for $10 each. There's a digital lottery. That's the only way you can get the tickets.
You need an app, right?
Well, you can. I think there's also a website you can sign on to, and it starts 2 days before the performance you want to attend. So the first performance is Tuesday night. You would log on this Sunday. If you win, you can buy 2 tickets, and it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, for two tickets for $10 to Hamilton. That's terrific. All right, well, thanks so much.
Ten apiece, right.
Disaster again. It's a Cockpit in Court. That's at the Community College of Baltimore County in Essex. It's there through Sunday, the 30th of June. We got more information at WIPR.org/midday, and we've also posted a link to the site where you can register for the $10 Hamilton tickets lottery. So, Judy, next week we're going to talk about Steel Magnolias. That was a very popular movie in the 1980s. That'll be fun.
Right, at the Spotlighters.
Okay, we'll see you then. Appreciate it. Thanks to Bottoms Up Bagels for lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. Inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s, Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. You can find them at the Waverly and JFX Farmers Markets, as well as at bottomsupbagels.com. We also want to thank Dangerously Delicious Pies for providing lunch for us each week. They have locations at 2839 O'Donnell Street on the square in Canton and at 810 West 36th Street in Hamden. Their menu includes a large variety of homemade sweet and savory pies and quiches. You can find them at dangerouspiesbalt.com. www.midayinthenetwork.com. That's it for us today. Coming up on our program Monday, it's Midday in the Neighborhood, another in our occasional series of conversations with activists from each of Baltimore's 278 unique neighborhoods. On Monday, I'll talk to folks from Canton, Greenmount West, and Ridgely's Delight. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. Thanks also to Mac Taka for handling the board today. And on Wednesday, when we're live at the Lewis Museum here in Baltimore, Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Gahill produce our program. Jamila Krempel is our digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Reveals up next after news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.